Hi, everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the podcast, Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found as a free download on iTunes. And you can also find it directly accessible to my blog, Make Room for the Stuttering. As always, I'm delighted to have another amazing woman with me today who will share her journey. So please join me in saying hello to Veronica. Hi, Veronica. How's it going?
Hello, Pam. I'm doing good. And you?
Good, good. I'm really happy that we're having this opportunity to connect. To get us started, can you introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and what you do?
Well, my name is Veronica. I live in Dublin, Ireland. At the moment, I am not in employment. 6 months ago, I took early retirement from my job after working for the same company for 30 years.
Oh, wow. What was it that you did for that length of time?
Well, I worked for the Irish Airports Authority, and my last job before I left there was Insight and Strategy Manager.
Oh, wow.
I over 30 years, I worked my way from entry-level clerk up to senior manager, which I'm very proud of.
I guess so. That's really exciting. And what an industry to be involved in as a person who stutters. Did you purposely choose that field, or did you just kind of find yourself there?
I kind of found myself there. I had worked previously for the civil service, for the government,
mm-hmm.
And in a kind of a backroom job where I just processed information and didn't speak to anybody or didn't need to speak to anybody. And I knew that I could do more than that, but I was kind of anxious about, you know, moving out of the safety of that, but because I wouldn't have been a big risk taker. So, but I applied for the job because one of my friends had started working for the company, so then I went in there, and it was a very small job and with not very much responsibility, but I suppose in my head I've always known that I was extremely capable and competent, but my stutter always told me, no, you're not that person, you can't do that. If a person who stutters can't progress through the organization, and so I kind of always felt I had this kind of parallel life going on, this one side of me which said, you know, you're an amazing person, and this other side that said, but you don't deserve to be an amazing person. The stuttering part said, no, you don't deserve everything that comes the way of everybody else.
Wow, isn't that amazing how a lot of women, I think, tend to feel that way. We tend to feel at some point in our life, and not even necessarily because we stutter, but of course that plays a big part in it, but that, you know, we just seem to struggle with self-image and self-esteem issues, and it generally takes some, in my case it was a defining moment, as I call it, for us to come to that realization that, yeah, I am an amazing, talented person, and I deserve that. So did you have a moment like that?
I suppose if I talk about where my sort of stuttering journey began, if you like, I have three children, and like most people who stutter, and particularly women who stutter, I was like hatching my children, waiting to see would they stutter, and I was waiting and watching, and because I was so covert and had such negative feelings about my stuttering, because when I say I was very covert, none of my friends knew, my employer didn't know, my birth family didn't know. They knew I used to stutter as a child, but they didn't know I stuttered. It was never discussed. I think I mentioned it to my husband a few times, and he said, "Oh, I never hear you stutter. It couldn't be that bad." So for me, if they stuttered, this was going to be the end of the world for me. And my first two children didn't stutter, and I thought, "Oh, I've gotten away with it." And then I had my third child, and she started to stutter when she was about 2.5. And I thought my world had ended, because now I thought, oh, she's going to go through all this. And then I began to think, well, you know, it doesn't have to be that way for her. She doesn't have to live with the shame and the embarrassment. And I thought, how will I change things for her? And I thought, well, if it's going to be different for her, then I need to be open about stammering. But for a little while, for a few years, I was very open about my daughter stammering while still hiding my stammering.
Oh boy, that must have been so hard.
Yeah, I would you know, talk to people and say, "Oh, Bevan stammers, but you know, we're very open, and it's just part of her, and we're dealing with it, and we'd be open with her." And while at the same time, I was using every single trick I could to hide my own stammer. And then she began speech therapy, and she began using techniques. And then I had this, she was probably, so it's 5 years ago, so she was about 7. And then I thought, well, you know, here am I asking this 7-year-old to be open about stammering and to go ahead and stammer openly and to not be embarrassed. And if I'm asking this little child to do that, then I need to do that too. And I suppose for me, that was like my light bulb moment.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, this is, you know, I need to be honest. If I'm asking her to be honest, then I need to be honest with myself and with everybody else. So, and then, you know, the thing when you're, this thing about when you're ready to learn, that, you know, the teacher will come into your life.
Yeah.
And the speech therapist she was seeing at the time said he was starting up a program for adults, and it was a 1-week intensive course for adults who stammer. And I thought, I don't really stammer, only just now and then. And you know, trying, just still not being honest with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And but then I thought, okay, I'm going to do this because I owe it to myself to try and, you know, end my life of avoiding and hiding and pretending and not really being me. So, yeah, so I decided then I would do this week's intensive course there was a group of about six of us. But, you know, the funny thing was that I needed to take a week off work. And I really wanted to be honest. So I went to my boss and I said, oh, I need a week off. And he said, okay, fine, you know, get your work sorted, whatever. And I said, yeah, okay, can I tell you why I'm taking the week off? And he said, oh, well, you don't have to. And I said, well, it's kind of personal and I'd like to tell you. And he said, no, it's fine, it's fine. I think he thought I was going to, I don't know, I thought I had, you know, woman's problems or something. And I was gonna tell him. But it was kind of funny that I was trying to be open, and he was like, no, I don't need to know, go away. So
you never told him?
So I insisted on telling him. And then he said, oh, but you don't stutter, I've never heard you stutter, why, I don't know why you're doing this. So, but anyway, that I suppose is a common thing. I think, you know, I mean, you know, when you're covert and people say, no, I've never heard you stutter, you can't, oh, you must be cured, or you couldn't be too bad, or whatever.
Exactly, because we learn to hide it so well, and we become expert at either, you know, passing ourselves off as fluent, or being able to switch words in a millisecond, or, as you mentioned, avoidance, that was my big thing. I was just the quiet one in the background that was happy to be there because it meant that I didn't have to risk exposing my, what I thought at the time was my weakness. So our journey sounds somewhat similar in some regards, but I'm curious, when did you first realize that you stuttered and made the decision to be covert about it?
I remember as a child stuttering very severely.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there's a few things I remember, like my friend lived next door and her name was Anne, and I found vowels very hard to say. So one day I was probably about maybe seven or eight calling for Anne and standing at the door with my mouth open and nothing coming out because it was an A, and standing there, and then, you know, it was probably 20 seconds, but to me it seemed like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then running away, and I never asked for her by name again. And I used to bring my sister, my younger sister, with me to call for her so she could ask. And you know, things like being in school and you know, in primary school, even at like 7, 8, I wouldn't ever answer questions in school. I would pretend I didn't know the answer rather than risk people hearing me stutter. So I became covert from probably 8, 9.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and the whole avoidance, like you, Pam, I was quiet. In conversations, I would never break in the conversation. I would never, I was the one always laughing at somebody else's joke. I never told the joke. From a young age, I learned that it was safer to hide and to avoid than to risk the ridicule of stuttering in front of other people. And I guess that was how I kind of lived my life. I wouldn't have taken very many risks. And even in work, as I progressed through the organization, it was always very calculated and timed. It was never, like there were jobs I would have liked to have gone for but didn't because I couldn't face the interview, or I didn't, the person, I didn't want to disclose to the person, who I'd be working for. So it was, it was this kind of parallel life of this person who was so, I used to live in my head. I never lived in the real world. That sounds weird, but do you know what I mean?
Oh, I absolutely know what you mean, because I used to always think, and sometimes I still think, that my world will be complete when I find that balance, when my two worlds come together as one. And I feel like I live a pretty open, accepting life at this point. But like you, there are still moments, particularly at work, where the covert behavior and habits, which were so ingrained for so many years, still pop out from time to time. And there's still moments where I fear being judged, or I fear exposing my vulnerability, because I always feel like, as a woman, that makes me weak. So I do feel like I have for a long time lived two separate lives. And when you talk about, living your life in your head, many times I've almost experienced myself as a third person. Like, I'll look down and when I'm actually stuttering openly, or talking about stuttering or educating somebody, sometimes I'll find myself asking, who is that person? Because I sometimes don't recognize her from who I was for so many years.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying completely.
I used to have this thing, and the the person I was in work was, it was Veronica, the capable, competent, articulate person. So I used to turn on my mobile phone in the morning, and my welcome message was, "It's showtime." Remind me, I needed to change into my persona, and my screensaver on my computer in work was, "It's showtime." So in work I lived in showtime, and that was it was this thing. I drive into work as myself, thinking, oh, my words are all gathering up in my throat, and I'm I feel I'm going to stutter a lot today, and then arrive in work, turn on my computer, it's showtime, and that would be me on, you know, performing for the day. And that was, my working life was a performance all day, every day. And, you know, when I stopped doing, I don't have showtime to the same extent anymore, but it was like constantly being on stage all of the time with, you know, everything that goes with that. And it was so tiring to be constantly reminded that I needed to perform as the person I felt people expected me to be.
Yeah, I get that too, Veronica. You know, it's tiring. It consumes so much energy to try to be what you think the world wants you to be, instead of just being who we are. And who we are is good enough. And I think it's just a wonderful arrival when we finally get there, and when we finally realize, yes, I am good enough. As a matter of fact, I'm better than good enough. I'm that amazing, talented person that the world deserves to meet. And it's so much easier to do that than to try to be an actress and wear so many roles and so many different costumes. That maybe it sounds like maybe that's even what you're trying to say. In your performance mode, you were other people than just Veronica, right? Am I hearing that right?
Yeah. It's like you know what you're saying. Sometimes I was looking at that person that was standing up and presenting and being, you know, this, you know, successful person, and I'm saying, where did she? Who is she? I don't even know, because she's not who I am. You know, I've made this other person, and you know, now for me, it's like I'm just so much more honest with myself in who I present. And you know, and this all started for me kind of 5 years ago. And it's, you know, I'm still called covert in situations. It's not quite so automatic anymore. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't know if you find, I found that as time goes on, I can't switch to showtime sometimes when I'd like to. It's not so automatic anymore. Or some of the tricks don't come as easy.
And exactly.
I think it would be nice if I could just go back into showtime. But I know now I would rather just be honest with myself and honest with other people as well about who I am, because stuttering is part of what's made me what I am. And I'm at a point where I'm happy in that, you know, I will be open, but I'm also accepting that sometimes it's just too hard, and that I need to use my tricks sometimes, and that's okay, because I think, you know, if you don't stutter, I think there are lots of people who use showtime when they need to as well. So
yeah, but I do know exactly what you're talking about, and it must just be as we get older and as we distance ourselves from the covertness that we were completely, it does become, for me, there's times where I just don't know how to word switch anymore. Or, you know, it's not, just like you said, it's not automatic pilot anymore. It's like I would have to think about the avoidance or the covert behavior, and that would take just as long and just as much energy now as it would to just stutter openly. So, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. It's a good experience to talk to somebody else who's shared the same deep level of covertness, because we both get what each other is saying.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I think it's really, I don't know if you found it, but a lot of overt stutterers I meet don't get covert, you know, just don't understand, I met a man recently, and he said, but how do you hide it? What do you do? And I was explaining to him how I used to hide it, how I would avoid situations and switch words and put in filler words or not talk, or, you know, I would make myself fluent by using showtime. And even as I was explaining it to him, I was thinking, that sounds so weird. How can somebody actually do that? How and how did I live my life like that for so long? I can understand how overts don't get coverts, but it does cause a bit of amusement when I began going to my self-help group, and there was a man there who I have since become quite good friends with, and I was extremely covert, and I don't think I stuttered for the whole of the first or second time I went there. And he said to me, he said, what are you doing here? You don't even stutter. And he was just baffled that, you know, that there was somebody covert, because he had been so overt and struggling with overtness. And, you know, another woman said to me, another woman who stuttered overtly said, oh, I'd love to be like you, to be able to hide your stutter. And I said, no, don't wish that on yourself. So I just think it's that, you know, I don't know if people get coverts that well.
Yeah, and you're right. We certainly don't want to wish that on anybody, because the mental gymnastics and the stress and the constant scrambling, it's just not worth it. It's just exhausting, and life is exhausting enough to add that to the mix. It just doesn't make any sense. So did you start going to self-help at around the same time that you did that 1 week intensive?
Because what the speech therapist said, well, he encouraged me to go to the self-help group, to start going there before I did the course. As opposed to start meeting people who stutter to start with, because, you know, I'd never had a conversation with people, with anybody who stuttered. I had met a few people who stuttered, but I would not speak to them, because I was so embarrassed by stuttering that I didn't want to have to face stuttering. I didn't want to have to deal with it. So before I did the week's intensive course, I had been going to the meetings for about, I'd gone to about 5 or 6 meetings. And that was really good. But, the first meeting I went to, I was terrified because I thought, if somebody stutters really severely, what face have I got to have on? What way am I going to react? Am I going to be able to cope with this? It was just, and I know that sounds really, I know that sounds really terrible that I didn't want people to stutter in front of me, but I felt so bad about my own stuttering that I thought, if I have to face it, I'm not sure I want to be open. But it was, I knew in my head I was more than my stuttering, so I wasn't going to be put off, and I was going to give myself a chance to at least see if there was another life besides being covert.
Yeah. And I can relate too, because when I went to my first self-help group 4 years ago, I haven't even been as open for as long as you have been. I've only been doing this for 4 years. But I remember the same thing. The first 2 meetings, I didn't say anything. I couldn't say anything. I was overwhelmed with, for the first time, meeting other people who stutter. They went around the room and they wanted people to say their name or something. And I couldn't even do that. I felt like if I even opened my mouth, I was going to burst into tears. And I didn't want to do that in front of people that I didn't know. I equated crying with the whole being vulnerable thing. Yeah. But I remember I kept going back. I went to the third meeting, and I was still feeling the wave of emotion. And there was a point during the meeting where I had purposely chose a chair that was close to the door so that if I had to make a getaway, it wouldn't be quite so obvious if I had to, climb over, people or, say excuse me and stuff. So yeah. I remember, and I did that a lot during my covert years. I would always sit in the back. But at this particular meeting, something was said that caught me, and I became emotional just listening. And I remember feeling like this the wave coming up my chest and up my throat. And I remember sometimes when I'm beginning to get overwhelmed and start to cry, you'll see it first. My chest will move and, I'll visibly shake a little bit. And the person sitting next to me, I'll never forget this. Her name is Mary. And she was also a covert stutterer for many years. She didn't say a word. She just put her hand on my knee.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed for the rest of the meeting.
Yeah.
Just that tiny little bit of encouragement and that gesture of comfort made me feel like, okay, I don't have to run away, which is what I usually do. And I think by the 4th or 5th meeting, I was finally able to say, hi, my name is Pam, and I stutter. And I think I did cry when I said that, but it was such a relief to finally be able to say that in front of other people who stutter, because they accepted me, and that was a huge moment for me in realizing that it is okay, and I'm okay.
Yeah, around that time as well, I began around the time I started going to the self-help groups, I started to go online and look up stuttering, and I went onto the site for the British Stammering Association, and they had an article about interiorized stammering, and I thought, well, what's that? And I read that, and it was about covert, and I thought, oh, you mean there are other people like me?
And there's a name for it.
And there was a name for it, because, you know, it's funny when I think back now, because the speech therapist said to me, are you covert? And I thought he was describing my behavior. I didn't realize there was a name for, covert was a name of a type of stammering. And but then I also, then through the British Stammering Association, through that site, there was Lisette Fessling,
yes,
that had written an article, and I read that, and I thought, oh, she's talking about me, and it was like, you know, I am okay. I'm not the only one. I don't need to feel that this is just something I have to deal with. I can, you know, there are other people out there. And like you, it was like there was this weight. There was, it was like joining a family. It was just, you know, the light was beginning to get brighter and brighter in my life. And it's that thing about it was okay, and it was okay, and I was okay with taking little steps as well, rather than, you know, this thing, right, I've decided I'm gonna do something about this and I need to get this sorted. It was, I'm gonna just take this easy because I've been covert for 40 years. I need to, this is not going to change overnight. And I suppose to some extent I decided I needed to be kind to myself. And if this was going to take a while, this was going to take a while. And I was going to allow myself that time to learn about myself.
Wow. And. What is it that you've learned?
I suppose I've learned that that I'm okay whether I stutter or not. That I'm okay. That I am okay even if I'm still a bit covert.
Mm-hmm.
Stuttering doesn't need to control my life, doesn't need to be the central part of my life. For International Stuttering Awareness Day, we had a National Stammering Awareness Day, and we did we had presentations from different people, and people could speak, and there was an open mic session, and a lot of people during the day were introducing themselves as recovering stammers or recovered stammers or covert stammers, and I stood up and I said, I'm Veronica, that's who I am, because I don't define myself by my stammer anymore. And it's something I do, it's not something I am. So I suppose that's been the greatest lesson.
Oh my God, that almost brought a tear to my eye. for you to just be able to stand up there after all these years and just simply say, I'm Veronica. And that's just so powerful. You know, it's so simple and so powerful. because that's it. You know, we are who we are. And we don't have to live by, you know, definitions or labels, you know, just that's, oh God, that must have felt so good to be able to do that, to just stand at that microphone and just simply announce, I'm Veronica. Wow, good for you.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah, it was just amazing because that was as much for me as for anybody else, because now I was saying to me, this is who I am. That, you know, Veronica is a total person. She's not a stutterer. She's not, you know, she is, this is just me, every part of me, not defined by anything. But I suppose, you know, that sounds great, but it's taken 5 years to get and you know, I've always, because my daughter stutters, I've had, not just for me, I've had an extra incentive to have that openness and acceptance, because I wanted to be a role model for her. I wanted her to be able to be proud of being who she is, whether she stutters or not.
So she's about 12 now?
Yeah.
And is she okay with who she is as a young person who stutters?
She is. I mean, sometimes she doesn't like that she stutters. Sometimes it bothers her, but you know, I'm sure kids who wear glasses, it bothers them, or you know, so
right.
she's very honest about who she is in school, and she's very positive about what she does about her own stuttering. So for example, she was seeing her speech therapy recently, and she had a new teacher in September. Mm-hmm. So her teacher said she would talk to, or her speech therapist said she would talk to the teacher. And Bevan said, well, can I go to that meeting? Because I'd like to say things to him as well. So the teacher and the speech therapist and Bevan sat down and discussed how Bevan liked to be treated in class by the teacher. And I thought, okay, she's 12. She's going to be so powerful, and not let her stuttering stop her. Even if she stutters, she's going to be able to find strategies to help her cope and not just take it all inside her.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's wonderful. That's wonderful for her to be able to do that so early. Please tell her that I congratulate her.
I will, because, you know, she's, I mean, I say I want to be her role model, but in a lot of ways she's my role model, because it was through her her openness when she was 7, and her you know, wanting to be able to deal with her stammer and that I thought, you know, if a 7-year-old can do this, then I can do this.
Does she know that you were going to be a guest on this podcast?
Yep, and she will listen to it, and she'll be she likes to hear about other people, particularly adults who stammer, what their experiences are. But she's so she's going to listen to this as well.
That's so wonderful. So you two do talk about stuttering with each other.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, she will. And I think it's so important, and I know this is about women who stutter, but I think for women who stutter, if they have children who stutter, it's just so important to talk about stammering to their children, and to be open with them, and to you know, to say, look, I know this is not an easy thing, but it's not the worst thing, and there are lots of things that you can do, not to be fluent, because we don't talk about being fluent. We talk about being happy with our speech, which I think, you know, the whole thing about fluency, I had as a covert, I had fluency, but at a huge cost. So, I say to her, you stammer, you just get on with your life. If it becomes difficult, we'll figure something out between us.
And, you know, you made the comment that this is about women who stutter, but your daughter is a young woman who stutters.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is absolutely an appropriate place to bring that up, because you're right. You mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, women who stutter, when they have children, of course they worry about if their children well. And
yeah.
But who better to help a child who stutters than their own parent who's been there and can be supportive in a way that nobody else can, because you know your child and you love your child and you know, you're in it together. And I think that's wonderful, and it's a perfect topic to discuss here and kind of almost wind down and conclude with. I'm proud that she'll be listening to this episode. And I know you mentioned to me, and I hope it's okay to mention here, that you're an active part of the Irish Stammering Association. Yes.
Yeah. I'm actually on the board of the Irish Stammering Association, and it's what we try and do is we offer support to what we call the stammering community, so self-help groups for adults. We also run a drama project for children who stutter, or for young people who stutter. We have Young ISA, where we're actually Young ISA are going ice skating next weekend. So it's an opportunity for young people who stutter to hang out and to do normal things, but with other young people who stutter. And we also try and involve the professional community as well. So we try and create links. So we invite speech and language therapists to our self-help group meetings. So we try and work with anybody that's affected or involved with stammering.
That's wonderful, and that in such a short time, in five years, you've reached this point where you're comfortable with your child, you're comfortable with Veronica, and you're also helping other people. That's, I bet you 20 years ago you never thought this would be part of your life.
No, I mean, you know, six years ago, if somebody had said I'd be on a podcast talking about my stuttering, I would say, but I only stutter a little bit. I don't really stutter. So.
Well, listen, feel free to post a link to this episode to your, you know, the ISA's website. It would be great for, you know, people to listen to it. And if there's somebody else that would like to share their story, you know, I think it's important that this be global, because here we are, I'm in America and you're in Ireland, and we're talking about something that affects us both the same way.
Yeah. I'll put the link up, because I know other women in Ireland would be interested in hearing other people's stories. So thank you for that. I will do that. And yes, it is amazing that somebody in America and somebody in Ireland can have such similar experiences.
It is, and I just want to thank you so much for sharing your story and for being so honest and courageous by sharing such a personal glimpse of your story with us. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Pam. It's been a pleasure speaking to you at last, and thank you for asking me to be part of this, to be part of your community. It is an honor and a pleasure for me.
Thank you, and this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.